We have several announcements here before we get going in our worship time tonight. We will not have worship service here, but we will be at the Assembly of God with the Ministerial Alliance, Jackson County Ministerial Alliance Thanksgiving service, and we encourage you to come be a part of that at 6 o'clock. Stars are still available on the wish tree in the foyer. Gifts are due back Sunday, December 8th, so you have a couple of weeks to get gifts together. Please go by, prayerfully look over that tree and find those that the Lord would lead you to help. Ladies, Lottie Moon Tea and Tea Cake Christmas Lunch is going to be held next Sunday immediately after the worship experience, and it'll be held in Fellowship Hall, so ladies, be ready for that. Then Senior Adult Luncheon Tuesday, December 3rd. The sign-up sheet is at the Welcome Center. And I think that's the only sign-up sheet I saw at the Welcome Center this morning. There could be more, but at least see that one. Christmas Cantata will be on the evening of December the 8th at 5:30 in the evening. We encourage you to come, and the choir's put a lot of work in. Brother Houston's excited about this. Bring your neighbors, your family, come and be a part of that. This morning, I would encourage you to read your bulletin. There are continue to be items that will be in your bulletin and also in your weekly email. If you are getting that, there's information in there that's helpful for knowing what's going on around the church. Today we do have continue to be the Operation Christmas Child Collection Center. And today from 2 to 4, yes. 2 to 4, we'll be collecting boxes from those that bring, and then tomorrow from 1 till 5. And we figure on Monday, that'll be when people are doing their last-minute things, and we may need some help tomorrow especially. So if you can help on any of those times, we appreciate you coming and being part of that. It's been a good time of fellowship and bonding with one another, and also it's joy in serving the Lord. So that benefits all of us. We have a memory verse. We'll be closing out this month with this memory verse. We'll have a new one on next month. But let's look at that memory verse together. It is out of Philippians 1:29. And it reads, as the Apostle Paul wrote it, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Philippians 1:29. And we have expressed the value of this passage of Scripture. If you commit it to heart, you'll always be reminded that your salvation has been granted by the grace of God, that you would know Christ Jesus and believe in him. But along with that is that we get to experience the joy of suffering alongside him. And so there is that in the Christian life. If you've not experienced it yet and you trust him, it will come one day. And this will help you to walk through that with great faith, knowing he's going to help all of his children walk through that situation. So God bless you this morning. We'll have a new verse on next week. Our deacon this morning will be Brother Joe McClanahan to come and lead us in prayer. God bless you this morning.
Let us pray. Our Father, we praise you and we thank you. Lord, you are the God who rescues. You have rescued us from destruction. Lord God, you have rescued us from our pride. And Lord, you have rescued us from sorrows that come like waves. And Lord God, we are thankful and we have great gratitude this, not just this week, but every day when we realize what a gracious God you are and how you have lifted us up and have turned our mourning into rejoicing and dancing, O Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you cared enough to send your Son, Lord God, to be that substitute for us. O Lord God, we gave you our sin and you gave us your righteousness. What a great exchange. Oh Lord, we are thankful for things that we know of that you've done for us. And we're so thankful for the things that we don't know that you have watched over us, protected us for, Lord God. And we give our heart and soul to you, O Lord. We lift you high, for you are worthy. Lord God, we are so thankful that you have blessed us these past days in the Operation Christmas Child gathering of these other churches have come. They've been so gracious also. And Lord, you have blessed them and you've blessed their box, all the boxes, and there have been many, O Lord God. And help us as we do the last 2 days, and then those boxes will travel to a distribution center and then on to foreign fields, O Lord, to children we'll never know until glory. We thank you, Lord, and we ask your healing on so many of our church and outside our church that need your touch, that need you to lift their head, O Lord God. May souls be saved today. Be with Brother Robert and as he breaks the bread of life with us. All these things we ask and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Remain standing if you can as we praise our God with Holy Forever.
Falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominion, all powers
us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us. Lord, be with us this week of Thanksgiving. Be with those who have lost loved ones. Be with those that need healing emotionally and physically. Just be with those traveling, bring us all back. Be with the pastor as he brings the message in your name. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time.
God in heaven, Lord. That's what we want to do. We want to worship you, Father. Your name is above all names, and Father, we worship you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come to your house today to worship you openly and freely. Lord, be with Brother Robert as he brings the message that you laid on his heart. Lord, go with us this week. Keep us safe. Father, be with those that are traveling, that are among our membership and around our country that are traveling for this Thanksgiving. Father, we pray that they will have a good time with their families, a good greeting. And Father, I just pray that if there's somebody in the family that's meeting that doesn't know the Lord, that you'll give the courage to the others to share your name, Father. And Lord, I just pray for everybody in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We so appreciate Brother Houston and the choir leading us in our worship time in music. I praise the Lord that he converted me, caused me to know him. Since the summer of 1981, it has been a joy to know him over all of these years and to know him more. And one thing I have learned out of the many things over the last 43 years about the Lord and Bible truth is that the longer you live, the more you will forget. I confess that I have often forgotten scripture references or verbatim quotes, certain versions of the scripture or a passage of scripture, and I found that the longer I live, the more that happens. What's sad is I can easily remember easy listening music words to songs back in the 60s and 70s that even after not hearing for a very long time, when they come on, I can say every word. So sad. Many of those songs are not worth listening to. Laura and I have two daughters, and there were times in our parental frustration I couldn't remember the names of either one of them. Good luck, Jonathan. There are times when we forget things. There are some things we don't want to remember, but it seems that the things we wish to remember are the things that we seem to forget. But at this time of the year, the emphasis, of course, is upon expressing thanks for the things that God has walked with us through over the past year. I try to avoid saying all the things that God has done for us. Listen, he's always doing. And we have a lot of things that we have because of God's favor and his supply. So granted that, but one of the things that I hope that we will recall is that God has permitted us to know him by grace through faith in Christ. There's no greater gift. The Apostle Paul says in more than one letter, he reminds us this is an indescribable gift that we have in Christ. He is indescribable. He is perfect. He's sweet. He's holy. He's just. He challenges us. He corrects us. But there's nothing more sweet than a God who cares for your soul so much that he will hold you accountable. And while he's doing it, he carries you. This is the kind of God the scripture teaches us all about. And at this time, we're called to express thanks for blessings that we've received or experienced. And I am sure that as I reflect over this last year, there are going to be some of those things that were very meaningful at the time that I cannot remember. Even if I were to sit down and try to write a list, I can't hardly remember what happened this past week. But to try and sit down and think of all the ways that God has just provided and been present and provided what was needed in the moment, there are so many. And we're going to miss some of those. And that is just the reality of living longer time. But I'm hopeful to remember the things that matter most. And I hope this morning our passage visit in chapter 103 of Psalms, verses 1 through 5, actually, will help us to remember those most important things. And so we're going to read this passage. It is a part of a larger psalm, 22 verses. We'll not visit all of those, but we're going to address these first few verses. Stand with me as we read these verses from the psalmist. And this psalmist is David, just praising the Lord for his provisions, mainly his mercies. The first verse starts this way: I bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle and so that you have eyes like an eagle. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your provision this morning, a place where we can come together and worship, a body of believers who have been adopted as your sons and daughters to come together to adore you and to worship you and praise you together. Father, as we are reminded, perhaps nothing new this morning, but just reminded of the way that you provided for us spiritually, we'll be more likely to remember those things that you have provided through the year that perhaps weren't so spiritual. But Lord God, we do thank you that your Spirit is present today to teach our hearts. And we ask that we'll have hearts that are receptive, ears that hear, eyes that see. Our God who is so good and so giving, Jehovah Jireh. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first, providing in ways that we'll not even be able to comprehend until we come to see you face to face. In the meantime, Father, strengthen our hearts, gird us so that we appreciate what we do comprehend. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This passage may seem familiar to some of you. It may be new to some of you. But either way, it's a helpful reminder of the blessings that believers possess because of God's work of salvation in the heart. Conversion, transformation of a life is God's work. It is Him doing something in us that is miraculous. The Bible says He makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. He changes us from who we were to who we are potentially made to be. And so it's a marvelous miracle, and we should never forget that. And this first few verses of this psalm remind us of that marvelous work of God. And it's a call to worship. It's a call for the follower of God to engage with Him spiritually and to engage on a different level. Music is a beautiful thing. We just spent some time singing songs, and you'll have your own memories about each of those songs and maybe a special time when you sang that. Maybe this morning was the most special with one of those songs, and it's pierced your heart and encouraged you. Music is that way. Psalms are music. And it might have been accompanied by a harp or a lyre, but they were music. They were songs. And songs are easier to remember, as I mentioned earlier, good or bad. Songs are meant to, God uses them to engage with our inner person so that we can communicate with Him in very special ways. And so this is a call to worship. And I think on this side of the cross, the crucifixion and the resurrection, this passage is not only relevant, but it's even more so than perhaps it was to David. Because now we know this Redeemer came. The price He paid was His own life. It was on a cruel cross as a form of execution. He was raised from the dead, and all of those events that took place, we see how significant they were. This passage of Scripture reminding us of this salvation and how it came about should be a marvel reminder for us to set the tone for how we remember all the other things that He's poured out into our life over the last year. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Think about that for a moment. He's not just telling us bless the Lord with our mouths. Just bless the Lord with my hands. Bless the Lord with my actions. He's saying bless the Lord down in the depths of my heart. This is a call to experience real worship. And we're familiar with the biblical truth. God blesses man. You cannot read the scripture without seeing instances and illustrations and examples by bringing blessing to man, favor that's been poured upon mankind because of God's, just because he wants to. Remember when he was talking about Israel, he said, I did not save you because you were so lovely. I didn't do these things for you because you were some kind of good people. He said, I did it for my good name to bring me pleasure. That's why God blesses us, because it brings him pleasure to do so. And God blesses man much. He extends favor, provision from his resources toward mankind. And he did that especially for Israel. He called them out from among the nations. Think of that. They were Gentiles too at one time. He called Abraham out of a nation of Gentiles and now to come and be a special people. Called them out of that. And he called them to have the law. He gave them prophets so that they could hear the word of God. He gave them riches when they came out of Egypt. They had been slaves there. And Pharaoh said, give them stuff. Get them out of here. They went away with riches. That's how they were able to provide for the tabernacle. That's how they were able to do the things they did while they were in the wilderness, because they were granted great riches. God did that. Then when they came into the land, God said, I'm going to give you a land that you didn't work. I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. You're going to have vineyards that you didn't plant. God gave them that. And listen, the conflict that's going on in the Middle East today and has been for years is because God gave them a land that had initially belonged to another people, had been unfaithful, and God wanted to purge the land of the wickedness and put in a people who would be holy. This is where all this conflict's come from, and it's never quit. And it will not until Christ comes back. Folks, it's just the reality. God gave them a land. He set them apart. He showed favor on them. When enemies would come, he would miraculously wipe out the camp of the enemies and give Israel the victory. They were favored and blessed by God. And God continues to bless. And we think about the blessings that we have as born-again believers. I mean, he abundantly provides salvation of the soul. We talked about that a moment ago. He does a work in us. He grants us forgiveness of sin. Lord knows we've all sinned. And he grants forgiveness of that. The scripture, even in this scripture, tells us he removed it as far from the east as from the west in verse 12. That's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. He's a God who has done the miraculous in giving us forgiveness of sin. This God has blessed us not only in doing that, but giving us the presence of the Holy Spirit to come and seal us, to empower us, to give us spiritual insight so we know right from wrong. He helps us to know what Jesus said. In times of trouble, we can call upon the Spirit and he'll help us to speak truth. Holy Spirit holds us until the day Christ comes to bring us to be with him. Holy Spirit fills us with giftedness so that we can serve the Lord God and edify the church. This Holy Spirit's powerful presence of God. What a blessing. Yes. One day he's going to come get us again. That's going to be a marvelous blessing as well. But as we think about this, we start thinking about the fact, how does man bless God? God's blessed us in so many different ways. How does man bless God? For man to bless God is to acknowledge him with a delight in our heart, with an affection to God because of what he's done in the way of blessing us. It is to never forget him over and over again. I'm reading through the Bible, and again, as I go through the Old Testament passages, God continues to say they will remember a God is in Israel. That there's a God in heaven. Why? Because they forgot. You know why Israel went through the trouble they went through? They were cast out of their land for 70 years? Because they forgot. They turned from the covenant God made with them, and they turned to the idols. They turned to the pagan gods in the land in which they lived. They forgot God. Oh, God forbid we should forget God. We are called to remember him, acknowledge him, delight in him, be content and satisfied in God with who He is, not just for all He provides. And there's abundant things that He provides for us. You can go down your own little list, but to know Him, to know the Creator, that is sweetness. And then to be able to come and adore and worship Him and engage with this God and appreciate this one who's worthy to receive all our adoration and worship. And so since bless means to acknowledge with delight for the man, we're called to acknowledge the Lord God in this passage and the blessings He's bestowed upon us, and to engage with Him in intimacy, a spiritual intimacy, whereby it's not just a facade, it's not just an outward action. We're not just doing something ritualistic or ceremonial. We're coming in and having a real engagement with the living God. So we're going to learn how to bless the Lord and do it with our souls, everything that's within us. Not just with our mouths, not just with our actions, throwing some money in the plate, not just with shaking hands with each other or singing a song and then walking out and going to our cars, but to engage with Him with everything that's inside of us. You know, the Scripture instructs us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? We are to love God with everything we got in us. Oh, how we miserably fall on that. But the Scripture passage also in this, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and everything that's within me. So we're not only called to love the Lord with everything that's in us, we're called to bless Him with everything that's in us. To acknowledge Him with everything. Forget Him. When you're driving down the road in that new car you have, don't forget it's God who provided that for you. Here's the other thing. When you're driving down the road in that old car and the wheels seem like they're going to fall off, God provided. God provided that for you. I went to college. I drove off in an old rusty Oldsmobile. People thought the car was red, but it was green on the sides and had rusty trailer, rusty trunk, a rusty hood, and a rusty roof. And that tank got me back and forth to school for 2 years. Put $20 in it on one end and I'd be dry on the other end. But that car got me back to school. It wasn't as shiny and pretty as everybody else's, but it worked and it was a blessing from God. Whatever it is in your life, everything that's in you, you ought to bless the Lord for it. Acknowledge His provision. And even if that car broke down, the Lord would have gave me energy to be able to walk to where I needed to go, because that's the way He is. And bless Him for that. The psalmist added that the greatest delight of the believer's life needs to be in the Lord, the Savior of the soul. And I wrote this in my notes, and I highlighted it in green. If you ever look at my notes, sneak and look at my notes. Green things are real important. And I put, to have more satisfaction in the giver than in the gift. Unless that gift is Jesus, right? To acknowledge the giver, who's God, more than the gift. Yeah, we should take care of the gifts. We should take care of the things we receive. We should be good stewards. But to know where that came from. We can avoid forgetting God and inappropriately forgetting God if we will remember who the source of our blessing is. And then in turning around and acknowledging that to the Lord God. And then he goes on and says, forget none of His benefits. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we're probably going to forget some. That's just human nature, where as you get older, you just don't always remember everything. But we are to be sure we don't forget any of His benefits. And he lists five here that I think, or four at least, that are very important for us to remember, especially concerning our salvation experience. And I'm convinced if we will grasp these things, it will set a foundation for remembering the other things that come along that are not specifically mentioned in this passage of Scripture. All of us have had the experience where you leave one room, you head to another particular reason. By the time you get there, you forgot what you came to do or who to see or what to get. Here the psalmist says, don't forget his benefits. And then gives us this list. As we think of all within us to bless his holy name, forget none of these benefits. Let's not forget, he pardons all your iniquities. I don't know that there's a greater gift that man could receive, because without the pardon of iniquity, you are lost and condemned to eternal separation from God forever. If you die in your sinful condition and you hold on to your own pride and find there's no other person that can take care of, I'm responsible for myself, and you die in that condition, you will forever be separated from God's goodness and grace. Scripture's clear on this. Jesus said there is a place of separation. There's a chasm between where God and blessing is and where suffering and hell is. There's a separation. There's two places. And it's one or the other. The Hebrew writer says it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. That is something to wake us up. Because our iniquity, our sin must be forgiven. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, save the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Romans 3:26 is just about one of the most powerful passages of Scripture as far as gospel presentation. There are many others. That tells us on one hand the wages of sin is death, and most of us would agree, yeah, I've messed up a time or two. If you don't, you're just full of pride and a liar. We've all sinned, and we need a forgiver. Because you can't do a thing on your own to receive forgiveness. It requires someone that comes along who's sinless, who is the firstborn of God, and who is able to offer up a sacrifice that will satisfy God's righteous wrath against your sin. And there is only one who's ever come in our midst who fits that description. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He fits the picture of the Old Testament offerings that were brought. They're sinless. They had to be unblemished. They had to be brought as the firstborn of that animal. And they had to be brought to the priest to be offered up as a sacrifice. Blood would be spilt. Their body would be burned and offered up. And only Christ fits that pattern. The Hebrew, you read the book of Hebrews, you find that that writer confirms this truth. There is no other but Jesus Christ. And he came from God. Jesus said it himself. The one who sent me has come so that I might save those who will believe. The disciples cried out, God sent his son. We sing songs. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. We sing these truths. Only God sent this only Christ to come and do the only thing that we needed done for us that no one else could do, and that was to die as a sacrifice. His blood spilled out. And he satisfied God so that all who would believe in him, that price he paid, all who would believe in him could experience forgiveness of sin. Because that price Jesus paid was to pay the penalty for sin. And then God didn't just leave it at that. 3 days later, he raised him from the dead so that all who believe in him not only have forgiveness of sin, but then they do not ever experience a second death. The Bible talks about a first death. We're all physical. We're going to die because we're in a sin-tainted world. Our lives are limited. And unless Christ comes before you die, you're going to die. But if you trust Christ, you'll miss that second death. And the second death is that separation from God and his goodness for all eternity if you never trust him and your sins aren't pardoned. So this is a marvelous benefit that God gave through David to remind us. And now, as I said earlier, now on this side of the crucifixion and resurrection, we see the significance of it. There was only one sacrifice that could be made, and it was God was good to his word. From his promise in Genesis 3:15 all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament, he provided the forgiveness through Christ Jesus. Pardon. all your iniquities. Listen, all of them. I read it earlier in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. He's taken it away. That's good news. That's very good news that he has removed our sin from us. And I'll address it in a moment, but look at verse 8. The Lord's gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, will not always strive with us, nor will he keep back his anger forever. Listen, the Lord one day is going to hold us accountable. As I mentioned earlier, if you hold on to your sin, he's not going to hold back his anger forever. Right now, he's being merciful by withholding his coming judgment. But when it comes, it's going to come. And that's what the book of Revelation reveals to us. There's a great wrath coming. It's going to come on the whole unbelieving world. And God's going to pour it out. And it's going to seem cruel. But today is the day opportunity is given so that sin can be pardoned. Because Christ Jesus has done that work for us. Praise the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed that. If you will trust him, that's a great benefit for those. And you should not forget that. Secondly, he heals all your diseases. Now, this has been a misconstrued verse over the ages. This doesn't mean that a faithful follower of the Lord will never be sick or even die from a disease. Some have claimed, well, if you have enough faith, you'll never be sick. And if that is true, then the Apostle Paul was lost as a goose because he had a thorn in the flesh. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to remove that from you. My grace is sufficient. You will carry that until you die. What does this passage mean that he will heal all our diseases? Well, listen, there's at least two diseases that we need healing from. We just mentioned one a moment ago, our sin and our death. And the only one that could heal us from that took care of it at the cross and through his resurrection. In his death, Jesus paid the penalty for sin so that we don't have to carry it anymore. If we call out to him, the Bible says, confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'd be saved. It's really a simple remedy, but it is hard for us to step over our own pride to get there. I remember the gospel being presented to me when I was in the eighth grade. I went and saw Terry Bradshaw present the gospel at Northside Baptist Church way long time ago. He handed out little Gideon Bibles after his presentation. He said, if you'll pray this prayer, you'll be saved. Well, I prayed with everybody, but I wasn't saved. It wasn't until 4 or 5 years later, when the Lord finally opened my eyes, and I knew exactly what it meant to be a sinner and needing to be forgiven. And I praise the Lord for that. And because of that, my diseases are healed. Now, I may get a call from the doctor. I'm having some tests done. I may get a call from the doctor here and say, hey, you've got something going on inside you. It's not pretty. But I'm not worried about that. Because he has healed my disease. One day when I stand before the Lord God, I'll be healed completely whole. Sin and death can't have any hold on me, so no disease can have a hold on me. It cannot steal the solid rock upon which my life is built because Christ has planted me there. He heals all our diseases. Look at verse 15 to 18. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, he flourishes. But when the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and his place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. There is great hope in those who fear the Lord and follow his precepts. And you can't do that unless the Spirit of God's been planted in you because you trusted him for salvation and he's put his righteousness in you. So that you love and long for those righteous things. And you fear him because not because you think he's going to strike you down, but you fear him because you don't want to disappoint him in doing the wrong thing. This great God heals our diseases. And we may not have a full comprehension of how God will bring about that salvation, just as David didn't. The crucifixion wasn't even a thing when David wrote this. It came about, though, and fulfilled much scripture that these guys wrote, not knowing exactly how it was going to be fulfilled. Let me tell you, you and I can't comprehend how we're going to finally be healed except to trust the Lord. He's going to heal everyone one day who belongs to Him, have trusted Him by faith. He will take care of the diseases that have plagued you. And He does it through Christ initially, through this death and resurrection, take care of the penalty of death, the penalty of sin and death, and then this future event that this psalmist looked forward to. We look forward to also hope with faith. Thirdly, He redeems your life from the pit. Redeems your life from the pit. What the believer is rescued from could have two applications here. First off, an immediate pit. When you are living without Christ, you are in a constant existence of depravity and wickedness. You may be a good and moral person, but you are filthy with sin. There's sinfulness, there's pride, there's selfishness inside of you, selfish ambition and lust. These things exist within every natural-born human being because we inherited the sin of Adam. And we find that we are living in a pit, even if we're alive. There's a term in the prison system when a person who's been executed or who is on his way to execution and they cry out, "Dead man walking." He's still walking. He's alive. He's physically walking down a hallway, but he's dead because that's his destiny. He's paying for a crime he committed. He's a dead man walking. And all who have never trusted Christ Jesus as Lord and do not have Christ's salvation in you, you are a dead man walking or a dead woman walking. If you do not have Christ in your heart, you are dead. And the pit that you will enter into in that condition, Jesus said it's one, when he spoke in Luke chapter 16 of the man who was rich and died and went down to Hades. He was alone. You don't find anybody else was in Hades with him. He was alone. He was in agony. He was dying of thirst. He had regret. He desired for this beggar that sat at his gate and was filthy and sores licked by a dog. He desired for that man to stick his finger in water and put it on his tongue. He was miserable. That's a pit of eternal destruction and punishment for the lost. This is the pit that Christ delivers from for those who trust Him. And the psalmist, even before Christ comes on the scene, he says, He pardons your iniquities, He heals your diseases, He redeems your life from the pit. David would know, running from his enemies, hiding in caves and ditches and all kind of things, what a pit was. And while he lived through those, he knew that there was a coming pit that would be one of wrath of God upon you in those days if you did not have the forgiveness of God. Delivers your life from the pit. So there's immediate pit as we walk in lostness, and there's a future application of a pit that the soul is cast in who does not trust Christ and is in there for all eternity, separated from God and His goodness. Fourthly, He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. This is another benefit that God crowns you, loving kindness and compassion. If you're looking for an actual crown, well, good luck. This is a figurative language that talks about how God puts over us, He clothes us with His loving kindness and compassion. And the word loving kindness can also mean mercy. That the Lord God has mercy upon us. That means to withhold His righteous wrath. God's loving kindness and compassion follow us in this life. Listen, you have done some things that you should be held responsible for, and the Lord's given you a break on that for now. Yeah? You've gotten away with it, and you're on smooth street. But one day it'll catch up to you. But when you have had your sins washed away through the blood of Christ, by grace through faith in Him, you have nothing but His mercy and His compassion. What a blessing. And sadly enough, Christ had to bear that on the cross for me to experience this kind of freedom. But he did it willingly, and he did it out of his great love. So the Lord grants his mercy and compassion on a believer's life. And it's like the saints covered with a crown, or the assurance of God's eternal mercy and care. Look at verse 13 and 14 again in this same chapter. Just as a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He's mindful. We are simply dust. And then in verse 17, the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. His loving kindness, his mercy is forever for those who love him. If you've trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, his mercy is eternal. Well, that's good news. His righteousness to children's children. That which you have in your life now is to be passed on to your children and into their children through your children. This is not just a generational thing. This is a lifetime thing. We are called to be passing on this compassion and loving kindness of the Lord that we have benefited from and received down to others, that he has given us responsibility to carry. I love that the scripture reminds us that we receive this imputed righteousness of the Savior at conversion, and we have his covering over us. And remember, in another of David's Psalms, he says, surely the goodness and loving kindness of the Father will be with me all the days of my life. Psalm 23. He says one of the provisions of God's not just that he leads me by quiet waters and green pastures and daily provision, but he gives me his mercy and kindness and compassion all day, every day of my life till I go to be with him. That's the hope the believer has on this side of the cross and resurrection. So he crowns you with that. He covers you with that. This is an assurance that the believers carry, this faithful watch caring provision of the Lord in his mercy all your days, and continuing until the future day of reward. And then lastly, he satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. For the most part, those who walk with the Lord, who are faithful to follow his precepts, will experience favor in this world. There are the occasions when someone is faithful, but through consequences of past actions, they might live in squalor. They might live in destitution. They might have difficulty in life. But even in those situations, the Lord still passes some favor to them. The Lord does not look on his children and shove them aside. I believe it's one of the Proverbs. It says, maybe it's a psalm, I have been young and now I'm old, but never have I seen the righteous of the Lord begging, or his children begging, because God's faithful to those who love him. Listen, if you can't count on your own faithfulness, which you really can't, you can count on the faithfulness of Jesus. His salvation in your life and his imputation of righteousness, that is his, and it doesn't fail. And that's what we walk in as believers. He crowns us with this loving kindness and compassion, and then he satisfies our years or our desire with good things that he provides out of his bounty so that we can have satisfaction in him, delight in him, find security in the one who saved our soul. And this thing about eagles, I'd heard this long time ago, and you have too. Eagles annually shed their feathers. It's called molting. You can look it up. And then they grow new feathers. Even when they're old eagles, they get new feathers, and then they're able to just fly through the sky like a young bird. This kind of language is used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament many times to remind us of how God strengthens us and gives us vigor even when we're not. Think of Caleb and Joshua. Caleb was 80-something years old when he finally said, give me that mountain. I'm going to take it. God promised it to me. He had vigor because the Lord gave him wings and he was able to go. Listen, you trust in the Lord, he gives you some vigor. Now, some of you might get out of bed in the morning and question that. But let me tell you, you have more vigor now trusting in the Lord than you would have if you didn't. He enlivens us, even physically, to give us the energy, the gumption, to go and to do what he calls us to do. He satisfies our years. His salvation to us is, doesn't end our satisfaction we can find in him benefits, but it lays the foundation for all the rest that comes. We should not forget these. And here's what the psalmist says. Look, we bless the Lord with our souls and all that's within us. We bless his holy name. We bless him. And we bless this Lord and forget none of these benefits. As he pardons our sin and heals our diseases and redeems us from the pit, crowns us with that which we do not deserve, his mercy and compassion, and he satisfies our years with good things so that we're like young people. The Lord is good. Look, if we can just remember these few things, it will lay the solid foundation and we'll be able to move forward. And then we'll remember these other things that become byproducts of this main salvation that he has poured out into our life. We can start thinking about breath to live, health, vocation, relationships, especially family, children, grandchildren, lodging, clothing, daily food, opportunities to serve God. There are so many things we could stand up here and spend all day, maybe even in through the week, to talk about the ways that God's blessed. And while we may not remember everything, he will help us to remember those things that are necessary so that we can worship him with everything that's within us, because we know he's invested himself in those who believe. It is my hope that by being reminded of these benefits, that all of us who have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord will, with our heart, soul, and strength, reciprocate and acknowledge the one who's the giver and be satisfied in him, praise him, and adore him. He is worthy. Now, I mentioned earlier, trusting him with salvation of your soul is necessary. If you're going to bless God in this kind of way, you need to have him in your life. If you've never trusted Christ, I would plead with you today. Perhaps after my speaking, there's something going on inside here, and you know the Lord's trying to deal with you. I don't believe in man manipulating man into a place of salvation. I'm convinced that it's the power of the Word and the person of the Holy Spirit that transforms a life from the inside out. But he uses men who are even flawed to preach a truth that is undeniable so that our lives can be changed. And if the Lord's messing with you, I praise the Lord for that. If you walk out of here and you don't trust Christ today and you start to feel miserable, I praise the Lord that he will make you miserable to the point to where you'll fall on your knees. And you'll say, Lord Jesus, I need you more than anything in life so that you will trust him. Because he brings pardon. He delivers us from the pit. He puts a crown that we don't deserve upon our head, and he grants us energy to live life for him. Please don't miss out on that. Trust the Lord. If you haven't trusted him, trust the Lord. He's worthy. He's good. He won't forget you. There's one of the prophets, God speaks to him and says, parents may forget their children, but God never forgets his own. Well, sometimes we grow up with a bad lifestyle. I know I had a broken home, but God's a good father, and he never fails. He's trustworthy, and he's worshipful. He deserves to be worshipped. Let us trust him. And I pray this sets the tone for your gratitude for this week as you're with family and friends, your job, whatever it is the Lord provides for you. Let's praise the Lord through that. Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge you this morning. We know that you're a great giver. And for those who love you and have trusted you, Father, we can testify that you are good. And Lord God, I pray you put inside of us a desire to declare you to those around us, whether they be family, whether they be friends, whether they be enemies. Lord God, that you are good and you provide. Lord God, we ask you to be in our midst now. To move us from where we are to where you want us to be. Be glorified through it. And Lord God, thank you for satisfying our souls. Help us now, Father, to bless your name. We pray in the Christ's name, to your glory. Amen. Let's stand as we respond to the Lord, what he's doing in our midst this morning. The altar's open. If you need to come do business with God, I'll be glad to talk with you or pray with you. But let's take time to respond. Father in heaven, we are humbled before you. We thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. Lord God, to be encouraged by your word. And I pray now we are equipped to go out and to serve you and to declare you boldly. And Lord God, to remember the many ways that you poured out your goodness into our lives. Father God, protect these families, those that have been ill, those that are facing the final call. Lord God, I just pray that you would make your presence strong with them and bring them healing as is appropriate to your will. And these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Tonight we have the Ministerial Alliance meeting over at Assembly of God at 6 o'clock. Be good to see y'all. Oh, we're collecting Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes 2 to 4. All right.
Let's close with Share His Love.